Assalamualaikum. Good morning. You'll forgive me if I drink a bit of coffee. This week is Parshas Hayesara. And I think what we have to discuss, once again I'll try to be brief, has to do not only with the Parsha, I think it has to do with Shabbos, and as I always struggle to have to do with life. And I think if we examine the title, you'll see a bit the direction that I'm moving in. The title says positivity and appreciation, struggle and acceptance, and finally growth. Discuss a little bit today, in a purest sense, men and women, husbands and wives. I don't think that we are pure in that sense. We're a hodgepodge of different things. Perhaps people always were. It's irrelevant. Certainly we are now. I think the concepts are true. And they are worthwhile to engage in the struggle of transforming these concepts into the affect of our being. Again, they're not exclusive. In other words, when we talk about one aspect here in terms of men, one aspect in terms of women, we're not saying this is to the exclusion of these attributes, the opposite gender, the opposite role as husband and wife and husband, but it's not going to be exclusive of one or the other, but it's a point to ponder. It's definitely a point to ponder. So let's start off. The Gemara says in Brachos, Gedola avtocha shivticha na kodesh baruch l'nashim yosem in anashim. Greater is the promise that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has made to women than to men with regard to Olam Haba. There are many approaches to how to understand this. I want to mention just one from the Iyun Yaakov, the Chok Yaakov. He appears in the Ein Yaakov, the Iyun Yaakov. The Reisharov, or as they say in Yiddish, what do you call it? It's not just Yiddish, I should say in Polish, Zhezhov. It's one of those many consonanted names in Poland. With lots of R's and S's and Z's and W's. At any event, so the Reisharov says as follows, the reason for this statement of the Gemara, that greater is the promise that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made to women than to men, is based upon the concept of Gadol HaMe'aseh Yoseh Min HaOseh. Greater is the one who causes someone else to do something than the person who actually does it. In the same way that a Gabbai Tzedakah, who goes around encouraging, convincing, actually getting people to donate money to the Tzedakah, to the worthy cause, he gets more schar than we get when we actually put in the money. Doesn't make light of the scar that we get for giving it, but he is the ma'aseh. He energized us. He created the ambience. He created the circumstances. He generated the energy. He gave us the canvas upon which we could paint this exquisite act. Godol ma'aseh yosem na'oseh. Within that light, Medrash Tanchuma says in the beginning of our parsha, it says, Zehu she'omar ha'kosav eishes chayel ateres ba'ala, pasuk in Mishlei. Just as Eishes Chayil Miyimtza is a pasuk in Mishlei, at the end of Mishlei. Eishes Chayil Ateres Baal, the Eishes Chayil, the woman of valor, if we use that terminology, is Ateres Baal, is the crown of her husband. Za Avram Shayim Mekonein al Sara. And Avram eulogized his wife Sara. Maksiv Lamalam in Inyam Vatama Sara. Hischel Avram Livkos Aleha Velomar Eishes Chayil Miyimtza. And the Medrash discusses it, and the Akedas Yitzchak on our Parsha here, the great work of Yitzchak HaRama, He goes into a very long discussion exactly of different parts of Avesh Yisrael. If I'm not mistaken, I think we may have talked about it last year, perhaps the year before. But we're not going to do that today. But this is the story of Sarah's story of Eish Yisrael means Yimtza. Right? There's nothing you can possibly do to purchase such a wife, such a... whatever. Vamevin Yavi. Says Rashi in the beginning of our parsha. And we're going to say some very interesting things. I think perhaps you might find them shocking, but they come from Gdolei Olam. So I think we have to try and understand what they're telling us. It says, V'nismecha misa sara, this is Rashi, V'nismecha misa sara la'akedas Yitzchak l'fisha yedei besoras ha'akeda, sh'nizdam in b'no l'shchita, v'kimat shlo nishchat, parcha nishmasa mimena. So this Rashi tells us that Sarah heard about the Akeda, her son almost died, was almost slaughtered, Nishchat, and her soul fled her. And we traditionally understand that as meaning that the shock was just too much for her. That's definitely the Pashup shot. I'm not coming to dispute that. Listen to the Chassam Sofer though. Listen to this Chassam Sofer. The inyan zeh nearly mashapirish Rashi shal de besoras ha'akeda kemat shelo nishchat parcha nishmasa. Hold on to your seats. Haratzon, the idea over here that's being said lefi mashakosun zehasati le'el shayad me'aroi. The akeda has, the Chassam Sofer says over here that through the incredible kedusha and dveikus b'shas ha'akeda, Ha'aroi shiyu Avra v'Yitzchak nishorim kshurim udvekim lemala. I'm asher prasavti v'rachti le'el, etc. Parshas Akeda. Chassam Sofer says that as a function of the act of Akeda, the nisayin of the Akeda, Avra v'Yitzchak both should have been left upstairs in Shemayim. An incredible dveikus, attachment to Hashem. It's only because Avram said, those words came out of his mouth that they were forced to return to earth. This is the Chassam Sofer, not me. Right? Chassam Sofer is not, he doesn't, you know, oh, I thought this was a cute idea, I'd say. It's something, again, is it the most pasha way of understanding Rashi, what Rashi's telling us from Chazal? I wouldn't say it is. But this is his approach. Omnam, to the bold here in the middle of this paragraph here from the Chassam Sofer. Omnam Sara Haisa Gdola Me Avram Avinu Olav Shalom. I didn't say it. The Chassam Sofer wrote it. Sara Haisa Gdola Me Avram Avinu Olav Shalom. Al Kain Mirov Simchasa Parcha Nishvasa Venidbeka Beor HaElyon Kmo Shepirashti B'Makom Acher. Amazing. Sarah, in her jubilation over the success of the Nisoyan of the Akeda, right? Over the success, she went upstairs. And he continues. Atama Sarah Bekiryas Arba, and the truth is, I think the Akeda also talks about this a bit. Matamasar b'kiras arba, she b'mikre arba yesodos, the four, right, fundamental parts of all physical creation. Haisa nira kemesa misa gufanis. So it appeared that her body was no longer, right, it was lifeless. Amnon b'emes hi chevron. Again, this is all drash, but it's the Chassam Sofer. It was kiras arba hi chevron. Be'eretz Kanan, she nischabra be'eretz Elyona. In other words, he's saying the Kiras Arba is the four Yesodos, right? The fundamental parts of physical creation, right? So that looked lifeless right now, but really it was a state of Chevron, where she was Nischabra the Eretz Eliona. Right? He says other things over here. Eretz Canaan, he says, is a remiss to the word, to the words, Kinor, Naim, Im, Novel, Canaan. Kinor, Naim, Im, Novel. That's what we say, right? Alei Asor, Alei Novel, Alei Higayom, B'chinor. From Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos. Kinor, the Kinor has sweet strains to it. Im Novel, the Novel has, as the Tiferes Yisrael in his Perush HaMishnayos, there in Tamid, he talks about Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos, the Novel is a not as pleasant sounding to the what do you call, to the ears as the Kinor is. The blending together of the sweet strings of the Kinor, like it is the harp or the lyre or something to that effect, with the novel, another stringed instrument, which has got perhaps a deeper and not quite as sweet a sound to it. The happy moments of life with the more difficult moments of life, the kinor together with the novel, but they all blend together. In Sarah's world, they all blended together. Loka Avram Shenisha Ba'aretz Acher Maase Avoda HaKadosh Azos Zara Nidbeka Ba'or HaElyon. Ein kein Sarah, last line here in this Chasam Sofer, Sarah's Nidbeka Ba'or HaElyon. She rose up and then got come down. Okay. That's from Hungary. That's from, right, Kreshburg, Chasam Sofer, not to Volozhin, the Netziv. Yu Chaye Sarah me Ashana Vesim Shana Sheva Shanim. Shnei Chaye Sarah. Says the Netziv. Shnei Chaye Sarah. Muter. This phrase, Shnei Chaye Sarah, is not necessary. It is superfluous. Says the Netziv. Right? Vine Kvar Pirashnu Kamapomim. Right, the idea of where it means Chaim, Chaim Lashakosh, has two meanings to it. One, it means life itself, life and not death. And the other one is Chaim of Sameach, right? To be rejoicing, to be Aliz, right? Velo Be'itzon, not to be sad, to be alive, to be alive. Not just to be alive and not dead, but to be alive. We're going through everything that he says here. And he says as follows: "Va'achak kol ze, yesh li zbonim b'masha amru, sh'Avram haya tofel l'sara b'nevius." Chazal say that Avram was secondary to Sarah in Nevius. Says the Netziv, what in the world does that mean? What does it mean? Hashem speaks to Avram many times. We see in the Chumash. He only explicitly speaks to Sarah once when he asks, why did Sarah laugh? Why did Sarah laugh? And she answers, Lo ki tzachakt. Right? Medrash says this was Hashem speaking to Sarah. How do they know? How can they say that Sarah was greater Nevius than Avram? Hashem speaks to Avram over and over and over again, and to Sarah perhaps just once. It says in the Netziv, Elo. Right, we're here in the fifth line, sixth line, right, of this piece from the Tziv. Ella, hakavana u, shahaya tofel beruach hakodesh. The two different worlds. Nevuah is like a lightning bolt that comes from Shamayim. A person is left oftentimes without his senses, unless he happens to be someone, like, for instance, like Moshe Rabbeinu, where he sees Baspaklari and Meira, and the process of Nevuah does not jolt him in his loss of his senses. And that's all Ruach HaKodesh. Ruach HaKodesh is all down here. It's divine inspiration. He says, Amnam lo, he says, Aval Baruach HaKodesh. Avram was Godel b'Nevuah. No, I'm sorry, I skipped. Avram was secondary to Sarah in the rule of Ruach HaKodesh, not a Nebuah. Shari Shnei Dvorim Him Ruach HaKodesh Hu Masha Adam Misbodeid. A person, as it were, he meditates by himself. Hu Masha Alav Ruach HaKodesh. He's in a tete-a-tete with the Borei Olam, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu causes the Divine Spirit to well up within him, to reside in him, to rest upon him. Yodea Mashu Roe. He's aware of what he sees. He's seeing the world around him, but he's seeing it through exclusively the lens of the of Ruach HaKodesh. Amelo Diber Hashem Imo. Hashem doesn't speak with him. It's internal. It's divinely inspired, but it's internal. It's not the words, per se, of Hashem speaking to him from up on high. Nevuah b'china gdola v'rabba mizek, kmo shebi'arno. Nevuah is greater, but nonetheless, Ruach HaKodesh is something different. V'avma yagodol b'nevuah misara. Av Ruach HaKodesh haisa sara mitzuyenes yosem Avram Avinu. She excelled in Ruach HaKodesh more than Avram Avinu. V'hasiba lezeh hu mishnei tamim. Two reasons. Echad she'Avram b'tzidko haya manhig ha'olam. Avram was constantly, right, involved with so many different types of people. We know that Sarah also taught, but it was not the same way, the same fashion, the same level, right, as Avram. Mashin Sarah haisi yosheves b'o'ala b'kedusha. Right? Sarah was, once again, even though she taught quite a bit, but she wasn't as public a figure. The Kedusha V'Tara, and here, look at this, the Chetziva, Ayim Asher Kosev Agon Chesam Sofer B'Akdam Masa B'Zeh, Dvarim U'urim Elav. The Chetziva cites the Chesam Sofer. Not this is the one that we quoted, but something obviously in the same vein. Sheinis de'ein ruach hakodesh chal al mitoch simcha shel mitzvah. Sarah was always in a state of simcha shel mitzvah. Sarah zeh tzidkasa l'hafli. Shehaise be'munasa be'bitochon chazak me'od na'ala v'kvo shemavua barabba. Shamra Sarah l'avram avinu. Sarah said to Avram Avinu, at b'havtocha, you have your havtocha from Hashem, v'ani be'emuna. I don't need a havtocha, I have emuna in Hashem. Right, someone who's resting, relying upon a promise made to him, a commitment. We know that Chazal tell us, "Ein havtocha letzadikim olam hazeh, shem yigrom machet." Unlike the quality of emuna, of bitachon, right? Sarah excelled in it. V'chein, he says, "Alkein lo nis'atzva b'chol yimei chayev, v'haisa shkua b'ruach hakodesh." She was never saddened all her life. She was never worried or concerned. She was completely, right, living in an ambience of Ruach HaKodesh. Excuse me. A point to ponder. Sam Sofer, Breshburg, Netziv, the Hamikdavar, Volozhin. I didn't say it. They said it. Now, it says right after the Kfur of Sarah, in Kiyas Arba Hi Chevron, Neretz Kanaan, as the Chassam Sofer said, pointed out, I should say. It says, V'Avraham Zakein Baba Yamin V'Hashem Birachas Avraham Bakol. What does it mean to be a Zakein? So the Gemara in Kedushin teaches us, Rabbi Yosef Glili Omer, Ein Zakein Ela Mi Shekana Chachba. Zakein ze kona. It's kona chachma. I heard many years ago from Moshe Shapir Zechasadik Bekodesh Lavracha. What money do you pay in order to be kona chachma? What do you pay for it? He said, you pay, chachma is what you receive from the outside. You can receive it from a lot of sources. The Chachma Amitis is the Chachma Satorah, it's from the Borei Olam, it's from the Torah Kedosha. The price you pay is your preconceived notion of things beforehand. This is the way I see it. This is the way I understand it. This is the way it should be. Okay? That's the way you see it. Do you want to purchase Chachma? Pay for it. Be willing to accept, right, from the outside, even though this is not the way you may have previously looked at the world, accept the Hadracha, the direction, the Chachma Satoro, Zekona. That's the price. That's the coinage that one gives to purchase Chachma. If we're ever going to look at the world through the eyes of the standards of mankind, then we're forever going to be looking at the Torah and say, well, why don't you make sense? Right? Well, why don't you fit my worldview? Man's worldview now fits, you know, changes, I'd say, every tweet. Right? Every time you flick on your handheld device, so man's view has changed. What's in today is out tomorrow. What's in today is not sufficiently progressive for tomorrow, etc., etc., etc. So you're living on shifting sands. It's become exceedingly clear that we're living on shifting sands, or perhaps quicksand. But a person who wants to be Kone Chachma, even though you may have seen it this way before, I'm willing to pay that price to understand the march, the beat of the different drummer from above. So what does it say? Avram Zaken, Bo Bayomim, he came with all his days. In other words, every day was meaningful. Every day was purposeful. Every day was eternal, transformed into eternity, because he was always being Kone Chachma. Whatever experience he had, if it was something that he that fit into his understanding that he'd received from Hashem, he applied it. And he did it. He applied it intellectually. His affect was connected to it. And his actions were in sync with both his intellect and his affect. That day is his. That day is now eternal. And if it wasn't something that he understood before then, imagine the Akedah. This was certainly not something that he understood beforehand, right? He was Kona that. He's Kona Chachma. Hashem says, Hashem teaches, I don't understand. I'll surrender. I want to be attached to a higher system of Chachma. And once I understand it, I understand it. And if it takes a long time to understand it, then so be it. So Avram was Zaken and Baba Yamim. He came towards the end of his days with all his days. All his days were transformed into eternity. They weren't just tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow creeps in this petty pace from day to day, right? They were his. They were his, right, forever and ever. Hashem berachas Avram bakol. Hashem blessed Avram bakol. And what's bakol? Says Rashi. Bakol Olu Begematria Ben. Special. He had a Ben. Right? Ben is Gematria Bakol. Interesting. Me'achash Hayelo Ben. And since he had a Ben, Hayet Tzorech Lahasio Isha. And since he had a Ben, he had to marry him off. What in the world is going on here? Hashem was Mevarachim Bakol. Right? Bakol is Gematria Ben, so because Bakol is Gematria Ben, that tells us, oh, and now he has to marry him off. Really, what is it saying to us? What is it telling us? Why didn't he marry him off before? Interesting. To marry him off before. Yeah, Kate is when he's 37. Now, well, what happened until then? So first of all, if you remember what we discussed in Bris Ben Absarim, that Avram Bedafka wanted a Ben. He wasn't willing that domestic Eliezer should continue his heritage. He wanted a Ben, if you remember what we discussed then, who would be Mechadesh in Avodas Hashem. Not just to be Dolan and Mashke, the Torah of Avraham. He knew there was more that needed to be done to broaden the world of Avos Hashem. As we know, Avraham is Chesed, Yitzchak is Gvura, is Din, etc. He knew it needed to be done. He knew that it needed to be done. He wanted a Ben who would be Mechadesh and at the same time continue his Derech of spreading Emunah in the world with his own Chidush, continuing his father's Chidush, but with his own Chidush as well. And a Ben. And that being the case, now perhaps after the Akedah, then now they've entered into a new realm. It's clear Yitzchak has stood the test of Yireh. As it says to Avram, right? Avram was the master of Ahava, of embracing, of coming close, of pointing out all the chasadim of Hashem. The Akedah was a nisayon of acceptance. It's not where, don't you see the Ahava of Hashem? It's like, do we know before whom we stand? Can we wrap our head around everything that Hashem is telling us? Do we believe everything is ultimately for the good, even though at the moment it appears to be not all that pleasant? That's why Hashem said to him at the end of the Ata Yadati Ki Yirei Elokim Ata. You've shown yourself to be also Yirei Elokim. And Yitzchak, his whole identity has been forged in my life is yours, Hashem. Take it. He is an Olat Tmima. He's the Korban upon the Mizbeach. Now he's really a Ben. He's the Ben that Avram wanted. He's the Ben who is going to spread a moon in the world, to continue Avram's legacy, but at the same time to be Mechadesh, to add, to broaden that legacy, to add a new aspect to it. And therefore he needs an Isha. He needs the Eish Yischiel that Avram spoke about with regard to Sarah, to complement him, to bring out in him, perhaps to protect him, just as Sarah in some ways protected Avram. She pointed out the dangers of Ishmael's continuing to be in the house. Rivka, in turn, pointed out, or not actually, she didn't point out, but she took the lead in, as it were, making sure that Yaakov received the brachas, as we'll see in subsequent parshas, and not Esav. She knew more clearly who Esav was than Yitzchak did. I mean, Yitzchak didn't think that Esav was Yaakov, believe me. But he thought that Esav had qualities and was redeemable, and not only that, but that there were certain qualities there that were very useful, etc. It's not our discussion right now. But Rivka saw, it's time to give him the Eish Yischiel. Time to see Oisha. He is now the Ben. Right? He is going to be Bona. He's going to be Bona, what he received from his Av, Avu Ben. The Avonim, the building blocks of creation. Avu Ben. Time to see Oisha. The Ramban. The Ramban says, he brings from Chazal, Derech Hasod, Achim Umrim Bas. Hashem Birachas Avram Bakol is not a Ben, but a Bas. But this Shita in Bas is not necessarily talking about a biological daughter. That's a discussion amongst the Tanoim. This Shita is a new idea. Achim Umrim, Chazal, says the Ramban, Bas Haisalo Ubakol Shma. Her name is Bakol. And the Ramban is telling us about the idea of Shechina. Bakol. It is the aspect of the way Hashem dwells with us. Avram, at this point in his life, is living, he's being toim, he's tasting, right? The Olam HaEmes, the Shechina is dwelling with him completely. Whenever it talks about Bakol, Mikol, Kol, these are aspects of whatever, of ideas that the Mekubalim talk about. But here the point is, says the Ramban, "Aval acherim chidshu perush hakosov ze inyan amok ma'od v'dorshu b'ze sod misodas haTorah v'amru ki bakol tirmos al inyan gadol hu sheish l'Hakadosh Baruch Hu mida nikra kol." That's actually perhaps a reference to Yesod, but the bakol is this the way that the Shekhinah is with us. The way the Shekhinah is with us, because the Shekhinah rests upon us. We are. There's another name for our purposes. Yeah, that what we call Shekhinah is also called Knesset Israel, the gathering together of all the souls of the Jewish people, each one with their unique nurture, nature, their unique right souls, their unique strengths, unique weaknesses, and their struggles to be able to reveal Hashem in their lives. When all of these combine together, then the Shekhinah has a vehicle upon which to rest. Shekhinah rests in our midst. Okay. So Avram now has a ben. It's time for that ben, who's the ben in the fullest sense, and that he is a continuation of his father, and yet he's going to, as it were, advance into new territory as well. He's a mechadesh. Avram has been zocha to bakol, to the Shekhinah filling his life in every way. Under all the nisyonos, the Shekhinah is now, right, is complete. He has shown himself not only to be the great O of Hashem, but as at the end of the Akedah, Ati Adati, Kirei Elokim Ata, and according to some Mefarshim, the last Nisayon was really the burial of sorrow, when here he'd done everything and he had to haggle, as it were, with Efer Achiti in order to have a place, even though the land was given to him, but he had to haggle with Efer Achiti to be able to give him the Arba Mor Shekel Kesef, to purchase the Maras Machpelah. He's been blessed with Bakol, the Shekhinah completely riding upon him. So tonight on Shabbos we will sing Eishes Chayil. Eishes Chayil is also referenced to the Shekhinah. Eishes Chayil Miyimtza, right? The Shekhinah in our lives. We are responsible, not just our wives. We are responsible also for having the Shekhinah in our lives. And in that way, Hashem's presence is here down on this earth, in our midst. We are the Merkava for the Shekhinah. Jewish people, each person in his own unique struggles, each person in his individual life, but at the same time it has to be each person as he connects to all his fellow Jews. They may not all be his cup of tea, but he has to value and know that each one is serving a purpose. Each one is there for a purpose with their unique struggles, with their unique strengths, developing those strengths, overcoming those struggles, etc., etc., etc. We'll also say Mizmor Shir Yom HaShabbos before we get to Eishes Chayil. I want to point out something in Mizmor Shir Yom HaShabbos that perhaps we can understand in the light of what we've talked about until now. We saw the way the Chassam Sofer and the Netziv talked about Sarah, about the Eishes Chayil, creating an ambience of positivity, of appreciation, of Simcha Shel Mitzvah, of Ruach HaKodesh. We talked a little bit about the idea of Zaken, Zekana. You purchase Chachma through the struggle to give up your preconceived notion of the way things are in order to be able to accept a higher Chachma, the Chachma of the Borei Olam. Right? Positivity and appreciation, struggle and acceptance. From all of this comes growth. So I just want to point out something with regard to Mizmor Shir Yom HaShabbos, and hopefully there'll be useful seeds that will germinate inside of all of us. And say for Eov, after the beginning tragedies have befallen Eov. So Eov's wife, not in the fashion of an Ish Chayil, says, why don't you curse Chalila the Borei Olam and you'll die? There's different explanations to what that means, because we don't automatically drop dead, right, upon doing an Avera. But anyway, there's a discussion about it. That's not our point right now. But Eov turns to her and he says, Vayomer le, k'daber achas hanevolos, t'daberi. You're speaking like a disgusting person. Gamas atov nekabel me'esa Elokim. Should we accept the good from God and say, oh, of course, that's the way it should be? There are different ways to accept good. One can be appreciative, or one can, unfortunately, this is a malady that we suffer from. When it's good, of course, that's the way it's supposed to be. It's only when things don't go the way what we think is good, then we turn our eyes heavenward and we say, I beg your pardon? Have you taken driver's ed? Excuse me for the blasphemy. So, at the very least, we accept it and be thankful for it. That will accept. There's a ra lo nekabel, but we won't accept what we consider ra. The good, he knew what he's doing. He was good. Of course, that's the way it should be. And what we consider bitter, or not consider bitter, we experience as bitter. Right? We call it ra. Really, it's not ra. It's tov, but it's bitter. There's no denying it's bitter. Lo nekabel, we won't accept that. This is in the vein of struggle and acceptance. Mizmor Shir Yom HaShabbos. Says the Medrash on Perek Kuf Aleph, not on Tzadi Beis from Mizmor Shir Yom HaShabbos, but in Kuf Aleph. Pasuk says, Ravuna B'Shem Rav Acha, L'davi Mizmor Chesed U'Mishpat Ashir L'cho Hashem Azameira. David sang, Chesed u'mishpat, chesed, we understand, we're giving, chesed, mishpat, justice, din, ashira l'cho Hashem azamer, I shall sing, and I shall bring mizamer, shir and zemer. Amar David, says the Medrash, lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, im chesed ata osa li, imi, if you do chesed with me, ashira, I will sing, benkach hu benkach, in either way though, La Hashem Azamera, I'll be Mizamer. The idea being, a shir is a circle. Whenever a person experiences clarity of Hashem's giving to him, he sings a shir. Shir is Hayam, Jewish people are saved, their enemies are drowned. Shir is Dvorah, Shir is Chana, etc. A shir is a circle. The Gemara, for instance, in Bava Metzia says, if you find coins arranged in a circular fashion, it says you found them kishir, circular. When you see the full cycle, from beginning and traveling its route, and then coming back to its source, you sing shir. Zemer is meloshen lo sizmor, to prune, to cut away what might be unhealthy growth, or actually dead leaves, let's say, on a tree. You prune it. It aids the growth of the tree. David HaMelech says, if you do with me chesed, ashira, it's all clear to me. I see the cycle of your giving, shir. If you do with me mishpat, I'll be mezamer. I will, as it were, try to cut off the wrong reactions, the wrong approaches, so that I will grow from this as well. Zemer. On Shabbos, we sing Zemiros, right, to remind ourselves it's been a week, tumultuous week, we've been beset and besieged with all different things, choices and struggles, and misyonos of one sort or another, parnasa and this and that and the next thing, etc., and maybe things more difficult than that, obviously, and we need to be mezamer, ka, ribon, olam, ve'almaya, right, etc., menucha v'simcha, or la yehudim. We focus on the greatness of Shabbos, we focus on the greatness of the Creator, etc. We're being mezamer. Let's focus on these things so that we can prune off any perhaps inappropriate or wrong or knee-jerk reactions we may have had. We don't want them to remain inside of us on Shabbos Kodesh. So let's just look at one thing. Tov lo dos l'Hashem in Mizmor Shir Yom HaShabbos, the second pasuk. Mizmor Shir Yom HaShabbos. The Medrash says that Shabbos spoke up on behalf of Adam. After all, he just sinned. He was worthy of death. Shabbos spoke up on his behalf and said to the Bor Shalom, why sully my day, of all days, my day, the day of your bringing your Shekhinah's presence into the world in a way that potentially could be found by man? That should be the day of sadness, the day of the death of man. Kadosh Baruch Hu accepts Shabbos' plea. We're not going to get into that now. It's a long discussion. And so, when Adam sees this, Adam says, Mizmor Shir Yom HaShabbos. He wants to sing a hymn, as the Medrash says, hymnon, to Shabbos Kodesh. And Shabbos says to him, don't sing to me. Together, you and I, as a unit, as a pair, Shabbos together with man, Shabbos together with the Jewish people now, let us sing to Hashem. Tov lo dos l'Hashem ulesamer l'shimcha elyon. Says the Tiferes Yisrael, and one of the Farshim Mishnayos, on Maseches Tumid, where the Shirei Hayom, Shal Yom, are brought. And he talks about Shabbos. Amar, let's read it carefully and think about it. Amar, Mizmor Shir Yom HaShabbos. Gibon Noel l'shorer. Let's sing the song of Shabbos. Note, Zemer and Shir. Mizmor Shir, just as we spoke about before, from Tilm Kufala, from the Medrash. L'David Mizmor, Chesed U'Mishpat, Ashir L'cha Hashem Azameira. Amr David, Im Chesed Ha'usali, Ashira, Benkach U'Benkach, if it's Mishpat, L'Hashem Azameira. Mizmor Shir Liyam HaShabbos. It's good to be Mishorer, Ula Zamer, Bebeis HaMikdash. It's the Shir that Levim sang on Shabbos. Tov lehodos l'Hashem, wrote Lomar, Gizeh hayom she'ein anachnu trudim bo b'iski ha'zamanim. It's the day, yeah, there's no malacha to be done. Kol malachteinu asui, it's all done already. We try to exist, to live in a state of repose, in a state of emunah and bitachon with Hashem, not worried and not concerned, not bent out of shape. We struggle. It's a time. Tov v'noz lehodos bo l'Hashem im heitiv lanu b'zman ha'avar. Not the way, unfortunately, we are all too often. When things are good, well, that's the way it's supposed to be. I thank Hashem for the way things are supposed to be. It's only when things are not the way they're supposed to be, so then I turn my eyes heavenward and I ask the inevitable question, have you taken driver's ed? Im heitiv lanu b'zman ha'avar, tov lehodos. Something that's chayim forever, Har Hodah to Hashem. In that way, we transform the good events, not just to good events that were pleasant for our experience, but when we attribute them to Hashem's chesed, we have been kona them, zeh kona. We've been kona them. They are ours now for eternity. Our reaction to them in appreciation of what Hashem has done for us transforms the pleasant event of life, the pleasant events of life, into eternal connection to Hashem, because we attributed these pleasant events to our thankfulness to the rightful source. Ulam, he says, though, indeed, though, gam hu ne'os le'zamer l'shem kol elyon. Not everything is cherries. Not everything is sweetness, yeah. And everything is ambrosia and nectar. There are bitter things in life. If we've been bent over into the dust, through suffering, right? Through pain and suffering. Overall, Roshina that have passed over our heads. Nechaye shuv simcha b'libeinu. We have responsibility to struggle. I'm not proverbing tzidkis here. I'm not saying this is easy. I'm not saying, oh, I've achieved all of this. And anybody doesn't understand this is a spiritual amoeba. I'm not saying that. As I look into the Zoom camera, I see myself very clearly. So I'm talking to myself no less and probably a lot more than I am to anybody else. It's our responsibility. Nechaye, we should cause to come alive again. Shuv, simcha b'libeinu, ayde zemer. To remind ourselves of the fundamentals. To reconnect ourselves to emunah, to bitachon. To know that Hashem is the one who has given us all the good. We wouldn't be here if Hashem were not willing at this very moment that we be on a trip to eternity. Oh, but there were bitter cases, there were bitter experiences, there were disappointments, and worse than that, during the week sometimes. Ayde zemer. Right? We'll sing this Miras or Shabbos. He brings kinyan, kchulim, and again, like Elisha said, in order to revive the Ruach HaKodesh, so he could experience Nevuah, and right? Kchulim, and again, play sweet strands, break strings, right, of strains of music. Lo'rer bitochon b'libeinu, to awaken once again, bitochon in our hearts. Al-osid azmani'i. You hear this? This is very important. We need to engage in zemer sometimes, right, so that we can reawaken the bitochon in our hearts in the future, not the future at the end of 120, but also in the future of tomorrow, the tomorrow that's here with us, not the tomorrow at the end of all the tomorrows. L'orer bitochon b'libeinu l'asid hazmani'i. If it was difficult this week, I don't assume it's continue that week. Hashem is like a benevolent parent. His kiss is a kiss of life. If one morning he wakes us up with a slap, chalila, Hashem should spare us all. If he wakes us up with a slap, we know it's for a reason, but we certainly don't assume he's going to wake us up with a slap tomorrow again. If it happens, chalila, then so be it. There's a reason for that as well. But I don't assume that his goodness is going to be presented to me in a fashion that's coated in bitterness. Afshalo navin eich al yedei atzara ba'atzma yavo Yeshua lano. Even though we don't understand how this tzara is going to be ended in Yeshua. And in addition, ve'eich hakol hu l'tovaseinu. This is the ultimate tova. So we're meant to reawaken in ourselves, sometimes through the zemer, our bitachon, that the temporal tomorrow, the temporal machar, will be sweet and not bitter. And this is all within the framework of the ultimate knowledge that even yesterday's yogon and tsar, even yesterday's bitterness, is in an absolute sense l'tovaseinu, even though we may not understand the b'chlal. Afilu hachi shimcha elyon hu. Tov lehodos l'Hashem ulezamer l'shimcha elyon. I can't wrap my head around it. It's elyon, it's too high. Your presentation of name under these circumstances, the way you introduce yourself to me, I can't reach up that high. But nonetheless, I trust you. Benale, the pulosov, it's too lofty sometimes in its actions. Mikol machshavos enoshi, from all the thoughts of man. We trust that amidst Hashem, in our temporal machar, Yeshua will come, and the ultimate machar, at the end of all days, we'll see how it actually was all good all along. This is not easy. For some, it's smoother, right? We're built that way. We see things always in a positive light. For those of us that are not necessarily built that way, it's not part of our nurture, it's not part of our nature, we can't abdicate responsibility. That's our struggle. That's our zekona. That's our zekona chachma. Bezer Hashem, just as Avram was mavurach bakol, bezer shchin rest on Klal Yisrael, and through our efforts, mitzvah Hashem, Hashem siyata d'shmaya, may rest in our lives and our homes as well. Amen. Have a good Shabbos.